count this a privilege and an honor. I got the lesson plan, and the last session was in there, and that was so good. I studied that and was all, well, at least halfway ready to go, and then I happened to say, this is session one, we're on session two. But at least a good refresher for me, and thank the Lord. But he asked me to speak to something that was on my heart. About a year ago, the Lord put a thought on my heart. I love it when he puts thoughts on your heart, don't you? You don't have to start, you know, what am I going to preach? What am I going to say? No. It's better when he does it. He put on my heart the thought, the love of God. The love of God. So I looked and found out how many times that was used in the Bible. It's used several times. And so I started, this is an amazing thing. The love of God, God's love. I'm not talking about how wonderful that is because we couldn't even touch the surface of it, the love of God. It passes all understanding. But the fact that the love of God he puts in their heart started amazing me when you start thinking about it. God's love, not just the fact that he loved me, he loves the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. But I'm talking about the love of God in me, the love of God in you. So I started tracing through the Word of God about this love, and we want to talk about just basking in the love of God. When you start thinking about it and start realizing how wonderful it is, the old timers used the word basking, just kind of bask in it, just kind of enjoy the journey. I've learned a little bit in my ministry. I will have been, Lord willing, next month, be at Fletcher First Baptist 30 years. And I've learned just a little bit, and we learn every day, don't we? We keep on learning more and more about God, and we learn about ourselves too. Isaiah learned about himself. He saw the Lord high and lifted up, and then he didn't look. He saw himself, and it wasn't so pretty either. So we see God, and we see the love of God. And when God tells you something to do, you know you worry, how am I going to do that? I've learned very simply, all you have to do when God tells you something to do is agree with it from your heart. Yes, Lord, you told me to do it, and I'm willing to do it. And he works it out and does it for you. Isn't that amazing? Just go back and look, and I don't have time to go that way, but there's so many times in my life where he's told me something that to me is impossible. And it was impossible. But I said, I'll do it. And then he did it for me. He just worked out all the details. Let's look, first of all, at the process of obtaining the love of God. Now, God is love. And God loves the world. He sent his son to die. But the process of obtaining that love within their heart, Romans 4, 24. And I'll read all the verses tonight. You don't have to turn, but verses 24 of Romans chapter 4. But for us also, he's talking about Abraham in the preceding verses, how Abraham walked with God and it was entreated for him for righteousness. But then he talks about us. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe. Now his love, his righteousness is going to be imputed, given to us, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. I was blessed. My mom and dad, from the time I knew anything, in fact, when I was in my mother's womb, they told me that I was in church. We walked 2 miles to church, didn't have an automobile until I was about 8 years old. Hey, listen, guys, I didn't have electricity where I lived until I was in the second grade. I'm talking about the old days, okay? Bluff, North Carolina, Madison County, Hot Springs area. And so, and I never have even doubted about the love of God. I was taught it. It was exposed to me. But I didn't really understand it until the Holy Ghost got involved in my life. So let's read that again. If we believe on him, I'm not talking about head belief. I always believe that, and you probably did too. But belief in your heart, and you can't do it on your own, and I can't tell you how to do it, and you can't tell someone else how to do it. The Holy Ghost gets involved. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I want to look at three things in that topic about the process of obtaining God's love. First of all, our account with God was opened when we first believed. Now, God knew us when we were in our mother's womb. He knew us before we were in the mother's womb. And he loved us before we ever got here. But that account, I know a little bit about that because being a son that loved my parents, we were walking to church. We used to have revivals twice a year back where I grew up, two times a year, 2 weeks each time, morning and night. And so I was walking to church those 2 miles, and I was 9 years old, and Dad was roofing the barn that day and didn't get to go. But Mom, all the way toward church, told me about, you're old enough to get saved, you're old enough to get saved. I want to be obedient. Preach, don't know what. And then, sitting beside my mom, she started crying, and you know, you need to get saved. So obedient son goes there, and I knelt in the altar, and I didn't know anything about what this talking about. I believed on him, but not in my heart. So finally they told me, the preachers told me what to do, and you know, I got baptized and all that. But when I got 12 years old, the Holy Ghost came by. And that time, nobody didn't have to come to me. I jumped in my pew and went and knelt in the aisle and believed on him in my heart. Only he can do this. So the account with God on my behalf was open when he taught me how to believe. He poured into that account. The word imputed means deposited in our account. He imputed to me and deposited me in my heart. And he paid for the offenses. Every one of us was against God. Our whole nature when we were born was against God. But God at Calvary sent his son, and he paid for our offenses, all the things that our life of sin. And then the process was completed. Look at the verse again. When Christ was raised from the dead, yes, this process was when he was raised from the dead. Justification, verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses. That's how we got in. That's how our account was opened. And was raised again for our justification. So when he was raised, so we could be justified on his account. And then he helped us believe, and his account was deposited in our heart. And so our account was open. And then let's talk about the access we have in this account. You know, access, I remember as a teenager, I loved to play basketball and baseball, and we loved to get in the gymnasium, but if it wasn't school day or a basketball game, you couldn't get in. But we knew the janitor. And if we could kind of run him down, he could let us have the keys, and we had access, we could go in the gymnasium. Or, you know, on a baseball field, you know, have access within the chain link fence, or was it? We know a little bit about access. Well, we have access. Listen, at Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we have access into the love of God because he put it in our heart. I'm talking about God's love in my heart. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God because we were alienated against God. Every one of us was when we were born. We were against God. One time he uses that word, peace with God, because we need that. And then he talks about the peace of God, the peace with God. The peace of God, and that peace that God gives us, so amazing. He said, tell me about it. When you get the peace of God, it's unexplainable. Paul says, it's no way we can describe the peace of God, how wonderful it is. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith. And to this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The access that we have to the love of God brings peace and joy. And all the things in life that we need, God gives to us because we have access to him, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Let's look at the action that takes place in their heart. You know, as a young lad, 12 years old, I didn't know any theology and didn't know, understand, but I understood one thing. I had the peace of God in my heart. And I knew I could pray to him, and I knew he heard my prayers. And he taught me so much at that point of salvation. And let's look at the action that took place in our hearts when we first believed, Romans 5, verse 3. And not only so, but with glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I used to worry about that verse. And in my heart as a young Christian, how do you glory in tribulations also? We glory in things that happen good. When things go well and when people are good to us, we like that. But he said we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So this action takes place in the heart, gives us the ability to glory when things go bad, because we know that he's going to use that to help us in some way down the line. And it's really hard to get to that place. Tribulation comes. You know, you go back and you look at your life. This happened, this happened. But we learn by that access. Verse 4, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. We can glory in tribulations, and we can understand that God's in charge and we're his servants. Why? Because God's love is shed abroad in our heart, and it's not our love that we're going on. It's the love of God. Talking about faith, and my faith gets weak sometimes. Does yours? You know, when you have a lot of bad things happen, you know, you think the thought, you know, is it me? I never question God. And as far as I understand and know and believe, I have never questioned God or say he is wrong. You know, God's done right. He's doing right. He will do right. That I know is firm. But my faith gets weak. But Paul taught me in his word that I don't have to live by my faith. Paul says, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And when my faith gets weak, I start thinking about that verse. His faith is sufficient for me. And when I got saved, and the way you got saved, he, the Holy Ghost, placed a seed of faith in our heart. And if we respond to that, it grows and it multiplies. That seed is, he was talking about that seed, an acorn or a seed will spring up into a tree. Well, that seed of faith from him in my heart sprang into the love of God. I'm talking about access that we have and the action that took place when he saved my soul. Verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us access by faith. We've looked at the process of obtaining the love of God. I want to look at the protection that he gives us so we don't have to worry about being separated from it. This day and time, I'm not using the word worry, but concern. We're not supposed to worry, although we do, but we're not supposed to. But we have concern. You know, you look at the economy and you know, boy, you know, if you got this. Sandra and I, my wife was able to go with me for the first time in 4 months. She had a hip replacement, had a lot of problems with it. And 4 months, she was with me to go into Walmart. I need to go buy some things. You know, you don't know what I need to buy. I'm with her. And if we found a sale, you know what I said? Let's buy 4 of them. You know why? Because next time we're in here, they're going to cost 10% more. And if I've got a dollar in a bank, it's drawing 0.1% interest, so everything changes, right? And everything's going to get worse. In the last days, perilous times will come. We know all that's going to happen. But one thing that you don't have to worry about, we are protected, and we'll never have to worry about being separated from this love God puts in our heart. Verses of Scripture, Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No, with glory in them. And God uses those in their life to give us more faith. or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from, here's your word, the love of God. Nothing. We're protected. I don't know anything that else says. You know, you have insurance, say, I'm protected. And I'm protected against this and that. No, there's no protection about anything, hardly. But one thing I do know, I'm protected about separating. Nothing can separate me from that love of God that was shed abroad in my heart. I've got access to it. Action that takes place, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Not only are we protected from it, but let's look at the provisions. We're always looking at something, you know, okay, what's it worth to me? You know, anything you look at, okay, what's in it for me? Let's look at the provisions in God's love. 2 Corinthians 13, verses 11 through 14. 2 Corinthians 13, 11 through 14. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communication of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. The provisions we have. He's talking about fellow brethren. You know, I don't know all you guys, but it's good to see your faces. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when I look at my telephone, you know, a lot of names in there, and some of them been so long since I talked to them, I hardly remember them. But all the preachers in there that I know across the country, and that one reason or another, you know, I put a R space, then their names. And I was looking in there, and, oh, the list is long. I'm a nobody from nowhere myself. But God allows me to know and fellowship with his servants. That's provisions. And just think about your family, how God's blessed you. And when you start thinking about the good things God's blessed you with, all the bad things kind of fade away, don't they? Next time you start having difficulty or worry or fears or anything, steal away somewhere and take a notepad and piece of paper and start writing down blessings. The only trouble I have with that is where to start. You know, I start with my grandparents. I knew them. Heard about my great-grandparents and how I was blessed with grandparents and how I was blessed. You know, and then pretty soon you start thinking all the blessings. And what was I worried about a while ago? We've got provisions, folks. When he's talking about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, well, to have fellowship with Jesus Christ and to have God's love in my heart, I don't know anything to worry about after that. We've got provisions in God's love and the communication with the Holy Ghost. When you get down and out, nothing's going right, the sweet Holy Ghost, seems like it just comes to you and starts loving you. And Christ Jesus starts communicating with you and tell you how blessed you are. And you want to get up and start doing something for him. The provisions are unlimited that we have access and all these provisions that Christ has given us since he shed his love in our heart. Fourthly, persuasive entreating, E-N-T-R-E-A-T-I-N-G. I use that word because in this verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we're going to see the meaning of that word is to ask or request earnestly. If you were entreat, it means to ask earnestly. And sometimes it means that you do certain things and act in any way necessary to get the answer you want. So I want to look at the thought of persuasive. God's persuasive, how he can persuade us and entreat us and ask earnestly for us to do what he wants us to do. Now, the flesh is weak. The flesh doesn't go along. Many times at night, he wakes me up in the middle of the night. And when he does, I'm wide awake, even though I usually get in bed 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Crazy, I know, but I do. And sometimes I'm not in the bed only an hour, and he wakes me up fully awake. Starts telling me something. Get up and read. And the flesh doesn't want to. I mean, I know it's going to be a wonderful time with the Lord. I'm tired, I'm weary, and the flesh is weak. And the flesh doesn't want to go along with what I know is good for me. Are you like that? But yet, I've tried before. Sometimes, okay, go ahead and speak to me, Lord. Maybe he shows me something already. He shows me something I've never considered before. Wow. Get up and read it and pray. And I used to say, I'll remember that. And when I don't get up like he told me to next morning, I couldn't remember anything about it. And I prayed, Lord, bring that back to me. It was so wonderful. You missed it. It's gone. Remember Peter, James, and John up at the Mount of Transfiguration? They went up there and tired and weary they were. And there Jesus was meeting with those two from heaven talking about the cross and what's going to happen, and those fellows went to sleep. Now, I used to kind of in my mind fuss at them, but hey, have you ever went to sleep when God was wanting to show you something? Because the flesh does get weak. Nonetheless, look how God uses his persuading me, entreating me, asking earnestly, any way he needs to do it. Look at the scripture. I've never seen it before. Verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord, touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Three things we want to look at. First of all, let's look at the Lord's desires. He has desires for every one of us. I've told this before down here, but all of you, when I first went to Fletcher First Baptist Church, I sat down with a pen, piece of paper, and I started writing things I wanted the Lord to do at the church. You know, grow us, of course, and do this, do that. And I'd written about 12 or 13 of them, and the Lord spoke to my heart so clearly and says, that's a pretty good list. Not a lot of selfishness in there. But he said, I've got a list also. At what I'm going to do and desire to do at the church I sent you to. Which list do you want to go by? I wadded that piece of paper up. I threw it in the trash can, and I'll never write down another list of what I want God to do. I'm just asking now, tell me what's on your list and let me accomplish it. My little old list don't amount to nothing. God has a desire for every one of us. Look at how he words this. He's telling us, you know, read it again. He's faithful. We can trust him. He'll establish you and keep us from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you. Now, he's writing to us. He's writing to the Christians saying, hey, want you to do right, and we've got confidence. Kind of brag it on you ahead of time. I've got confidence. And the Lord does and treats us like that sometimes, that I've got confidence. I'm going to tell you what to do, and I've got confidence you're going to do it. Isn't that good? So he desires all these things for us. Look at the Lord's determination in their lives. He is determined that it's going to be done. We have confidence the Lord touching you. Not that we're going to do it, but the Lord's touching, the Lord's increasing us, the Lord applying that word entreat into your heart, that ye both do and will do the things which we command. We know what he wants us to do. Then he speaks to us and tells us directly what he wants us to do. And he desires that we do it, of course. And he's determined that we're going to do it. And he's determined that we have enough faith to believe he's going to help us do it. And he says that in words that he's not, you know, pointing fingers. Don't you dislike somebody sitting in your face today? You're going to do that. You're going to do that. Is everybody here from the South? Most of us Southern people don't like to be told what we have to do. Tell me what I ought to do, and tell me that's probably best I do. But even though you can be in your best spirituality, just don't tell me what I got to do. And see, God knows we're like that, and so many times he entreats us. And look how he words it. The Lord's touching you, and I've got some things I desire you to do, and I'm determined you're going to do them. But look how it's going to happen. The Lord directs it. Verse 5, the Lord's direction for her, and the Lord direct your hearts. How's it going to be accomplished? In the love of God. The way we're going to do what God wants us to do and desires us to do and directs us to do will be because of the love of God in their heart. That passeth all understanding and gives us peace. And we love him so much, we don't want to disappoint him. And he does that in such a way as, you know, it's not your thing. You will do that. No. You do it because you love me. And it's not your love. It's my love in you. That's the key. My love, if somebody's really, really good to me, you know, I love them. Oh, I love them. Somebody's kind of sour to you, you know, that love goes fading away. But with God's love in your heart, one time I was at a church, my first pastorate, and somebody came to me during service, you know, a certain thing going on, right in my face, and then just really letting me have it. You know what I did? This is what made this God's love in me. I put my arm around their neck, said, looked him right in the eye, brother, I love you. He said, huh? That changed him for a while. But you can't do that within yourself. Somebody's scolding you and scolding you, and it's not you. You have a hard time doing that. If God's love's in you, it's right easy to do. Look at the verse again. And the Lord direct our hearts into the love of God. Now, the love of God's in their heart. But sometimes we're still in the flesh, right? And we have to buffet the flesh. Paul had that problem. It used to amaze me. Paul says, the things I would do, I do not. And the things I would not do, that I do. Oh, wretched man, I am. Paul, you had that problem too? Oh, yeah, you're in the flesh. I'm in the flesh. But then I read the verse of Scripture. Oh, man, thou art without excuse. Oh, we have to hurry. One more thing. We'll be closing. Number 5. There are personal effects. That's our responsibility. Personal efforts. Now God directs us. He has a desire for us, and he will help us. But certain things are our responsibility to do. First John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Well, I love John. You talk about love, the love of God, the love of God, the love of God. He was saturated with the love of God. Showed in his writings, showed in his walk. My little children, that humbles me. Sometimes we think we're all grown up and we know it all. And even John, through the Holy Spirit, says, he's writing to us, no matter how long you've been saved and what your status is, just a little child. Hey, little children are humble, aren't they? I have a new great-granddaughter, my first great-grandchild. I held her the other day in my arms, and wow, how sweet and lovely. Well, God looks at us like that when his love is directing us, leading us, and when we let that love of God rule us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, ye have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. We're not perfect. And since the love of God is in their heart, if we were to fully let that control everything about it, it would be perfected. We aren't there yet. You know, because you're talking about when you sin. He didn't say if you sin. And when, if you heard people pray, and I have before, and you want to confess everything, say, Lord, if I sin, what do you mean if? That's not confessing anything. Lord, I did sin. If we sin and confess it, we have an advocate. But look what happens in verse 5 again. Whoso keepeth his word, by allowing that love of God that's in their heart, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And the more we keep his word, the more we learn about his word, the more we let that love of God rule us in our heart, the more it's perfected, the more Christ-like we become. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk as he walked. The love of God, the subject that I dwell on. I know he loves me and I love him, but not like I ought to. Not like I want to. Not like I'm going to. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming.